Our next speaker is Dr. Gina Andreles, who's an associate professor of surgery at Johns Hopkins.
Thank you, Mike and Kamal. Tough act to follow, Dr. Perez, but I'll do my best. It's interesting how you can look at studies and take something else away from them, so you'll hear very similar studies in this talk. These are my disclosures, some surgical education grants. I guess I'll disclose, although this is some PHI, that I have been pregnant, which did also leave me with an umbilical hernia, which I'm watchfully waiting. So this is the case, and this was a little bit vague, saying that the hernia is bothering her, and I guess I'll assume there's no acute incarceration or obstructive symptoms now, in which case I certainly would operate. But these are some questions that might run through your mind, as well as with a patient. You know, why wouldn't I fix it now when she's not pregnant? And that just seems to make sense. I'd rather fix it now when not pregnant than when she is pregnant. And then you're also thinking, well, what terrible thing is going to happen during the next pregnancy if it's not repaired now? And maybe you're also thinking, God, I hope I'm not on call when she comes in and she's pregnant. But let's really look at this, see how often this happens. And Dr. Perez mentioned this study by Haskins, using the college NISQIP data, and this was from 2005 to 2014. But let's put this in perspective. When you look at the birth rate of the United States over that time, 2005, 2014, you can see the birth rates per thousand of people at the population. This is roughly estimated to be 3.9 to around 4.3 million births over that time period per year. So about 40 million births over that 10 years. 40 million. That doesn't necessarily mean people can have twins, so it doesn't necessarily mean 40 million pregnant patients. But in this NISQIP period, 126 patients. Now, this doesn't mean that all, you know, all the hospitals aren't with NISQIP, but this is a very low number, 126 out of 40 million. She did mention, certainly, the people that did present, about 60% of them presented with strangulation or incarceration. But even with that, there was minimal 30-day morbidity with a surgical site infection rate of over 3%. And 16% of these had just repair during a concomitant operation. So pregnant women who presented with cholecystitis and appendectomy were included in this. Well, what happens to the abdominal wall during pregnancy? Should this influence our repair as well as decision making about this? When we look at the inflammatory response, we know that this is important in the development of a hernia and also in the repair, that macrophages really play a great role in terms of collagen deposition. Well, what does estrogen do to this? And certainly there's a lot of hormonal shifts that happen during pregnancy and afterward. We know that both high and low estrogen decrease inflammation. We don't really know what that means, except that perhaps this plays a role in why the female sex performs more poorly compared to males when it comes to hernia outcomes. This is our data that presented at the AHS last year using, again, NISQIP. And females had significantly greater length of stay, operative time, wound infection, organ space, surgical site infection, UTI, bleeding requiring transfusion, greater morbidity compared to males with the same BMI. So we're just not doing this well right now. And so if this is making your head spin, let's again think just in terms of the muscular changes that happen during pregnancy. The inferior thoracic diameter increases, the rectus abdominis length increases during pregnancy, and there's a decreased ability to stabilize during pregnancy the pelvic floor. And the rectus abdominis thickness decreases not just with age but also with pregnancy. But it's variable, so women look differently, whether they're not pregnant or pregnant, and certainly recover differently from pregnancy. When we look at ultrasound imaging of the rectus diastasis and the prevalence through pregnancy and at the end, in this study of 84 primiparous women, 100% of them toward the end of their pregnancy in the third trimester had rectus diastasis, and this was persistent at 6 months in 40% of patients. It didn't correlate to any specific significant risk factors, as shown there. But how does rectus diastasis affect umbilical hernia repair outcomes? It does significantly. In this retrospective study of 231 patients, it increased the risk of hernia recurrence for less than 2 centimeters for primary umbilical or epigastric hernias, and you can see a marked difference, a rate of 31% compared to only 8%. In this Danish cohort study of patients with less than 2 centimeter umbilical or epigastric hernias, and you can see the recurrence rate is much lower with mesh repair compared to suture repair. So shouldn't we be offering the best repair for these patients, whether they are childbearing, pregnant, not pregnant? We just don't have enough data to say otherwise. In this umbilical hernia trial, a randomized double-blind multicenter trial at 12 hospitals, adults with primary umbilical hernia 1 to 4 centimeters. We looked at sutured and mesh repair. I won't go into this because this will be included next. But again, mesh repair has fewer recurrences. So, but there's several things to consider, as mentioned before, regarding mesh. There's potential for foreign body reaction. There might be implications for future fertility. There is abdominal wall expansion during pregnancy, and that might actually require a larger mesh size for adequate overlap. There's an old study by Zhang that looked at the core flexibility. It might be restricted by a large prosthetic. And the pain can be significant, although these are very few cases, small case series that were presented. Some of these women did require narcotics, which can have an adverse effect during pregnancy. This study was presented already and noted that patients had pain at the repair site. And 6 of 8 patients had higher, stronger abdominal wall pain during pregnancy after the hernia repair than they did during a previous pregnancy before hernia repair. So it does make a difference when you have mesh, at least in this small series. But does pregnancy increase the risk of hernia recurrence? So in this retrospective cohort study of women, the pregnancy group was more likely to have a higher BMI and history of tobacco and wound complications, so it's hard to sort this out. But the pregnancy was associated with an increased hernia recurrence risk. And this is from the OBGYN literature. And this study was presented as well. This is a systematic review of 31 papers, but these are many case series and reports, many from developing countries, so limited quality with lack of detailed reporting. 4 studies reported on 40 patients completing pregnancies after hernia repair. There was some pain reported, as was mentioned before, 2 recurrences after mesh repair, and 27 patients had supposed to have sutured repair with no recurrences reported, but the follow-up wasn't specified, so we don't really know from the systematic review. And you can see here there were 6 emergency umbilical hernia primary repairs. 4 had in so the incarceration, sometimes in these studies you have to sort this out. This wasn't an incarcerated bowel. 4 with incarcerated uterine fibroids, 1 rupture and 1 bowel resection. Certainly that can be serious. But there is no subsequent pregnancy major complication other than a few reports of pain in the 3rd trimester. No increased risk of hernia recurrence. However, it's difficult to draw any definitive conclusions with this because of the limited data. So this group did follow up with their own cohort study, and this is a picture of Dr. Jensen at a hernia meeting last year, who presented this nationwide register study of 267 patients who subsequently became pregnant during follow-up. And pregnancy after ventral hernia repair was independently associated with ventral hernia recurrence. And you already heard this morning the cost of a recurrent hernia. With each recurrent hernia, that means the higher risk of complications, infection, and another higher risk of a recurrent hernia after that. So it has some cost. And we have to remember that these patients are mothers, and mothers play many roles, and they're busy. And we have to do right by them. So with limited data to the contrary, shouldn't we offer the best repair? And perhaps in light of this data, this should be a mesh repair after a pregnancy. Thank you very much.
So we'll open it up to the floor and the panelists to duke it out. If you come up to the microphone, please just state your name and where you're from.
Hello, I'm Javier Lopez from Madrid, Spain. A question, if you think that you should operate after a pregnancy a woman with a 1 centimeter umbilical hernia and diastasis? 2 questions. When would you operate this lady? Will you ask her for wait until 6 months, 12 months after pregnancy? And second one, would you treat or reinforce the diastasis with the same mesh to prevent recurrences of the hernia?
Do you want to answer? I think women recover, I shouldn't say recover, it's not a trauma or something. Well, it can be traumatic, I guess, to have a pregnancy. But people recover differently. And in terms of their abdominal wall and the weight stability or loss after pregnancy. And so I would just monitor them afterward and see. So the timing, I think, is going to be individualized. But certainly from that data, we know that there are a lot of changes that happen in the postpartum period. There are other studies that have shown the changes in the abdominal wall. For some patients, this is more stable in the first couple months after surgery, but it may not be in everybody. In terms of repairing the rectus diastasis, I absolutely will address that at the time of umbilical hernia repair. A number of these women that I treated also have general laxity, thinning of the rectus abdominis, and that happens with pregnancy as well. And so we'll do a retromuscular repair. You could also do a Milo's technique that Wolfgang Reinpold has touted, and a very nice approach for these types of hernias while addressing the rectus diastasis as well as the umbilical hernia.
Dr. Perez?
Yeah, so in terms of the patients right after pregnancy, if they were asymptomatic, I would not repair it. If they are symptomatic, I would go ahead and repair it. But I would try and wait and give them some time until they're able to, number one, recover, be able to limit how much they're able to lift and do at home. And then as far as the rectus diastasis, I think a retromuscular repair is probably ideal in order to address both the rectus diastasis and the umbilical hernia. Okay.
Great, thank you.
Ariel, you have you received one of Gina's patients. That patient was not repaired, and now she's pregnant, and she's having a lot of pain. She's not incarcerated, she's not strangulated, but she's very symptomatic. What do you do?
How far along during her pregnancy is she?
She's in her third trimester.
Okay. First off, I'd probably call up Dr. Adralis and say, thank you very much. but if she's very symptomatic and she is unable to, you know, live her daily life, then I would kind of discuss the risks and benefits of an umbilical hernia repair. In the study shown by Dr. Haskins, it's actually a very low risk, but it's not no risk. And so if she's able to complete her pregnancy and go without the umbilical hernia at the time of pregnancy, then I would basically recommend for her to not have that repair done at the time of pregnancy.
So let me turn the table around and ask you, Gina, if you get one of Dr. Perez's patients, that patient has been repaired before pregnancy with a large mesh covering the whole diastasis area, and now this patient is pregnant and she's having tremendous amount of pain, and she's asking you to remove the mesh. What are you going to do?
I would not remove the mesh during pregnancy. I think these questions that you ask, Mom, bring up a very good point, and a lot of this is really just sharing with the patient a very thorough discussion about all of the possibilities and engage them in that decision-making process. Because there are certainly downsides to each approach, whether you're using suture, mesh, or just watching it at the time.
Great, so we'll do the post poll. Again, just to remind everybody to get onto the poll, you text 37607, you text BCM surgery, and then you'll be able to participate. So again, to remind everybody, the question is 25-year-old woman, G2P2, 3 months after delivering her second child, has an umbilical hernia that's symptomatic. Should you repair it or not? 42% said yes with mesh, 35% said suture, and 24% said non-op. Okay, so now we're gonna do the post poll. We'll give it another half minute. Okay, it looks like the poll is done. So the pre-poll was 42, 35, and 23. Post is 1968 and 14%. The winner is Dr. Perez, suture repair.
Congratulations.